Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bigfoot has been captured in a viral video by a terrified hiker who said it was the scariest moment of my life. That's right. Welcome to our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, 855-839-1210, on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. And Cheetos food coloring turns mice skin transparent, according to a study. Now, this is not coast to coast. These are two real stories. In fact, they did the Bigfoot story on Fox News as well, just so you know, but it's a real deal. Okay. Now, two things. Programming notes. Tomorrow night, I'll be on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Failla, 10 p.m., and then 1 week from today, live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A little bit later this hour, Dr. E.J. Antoni's going to join me. We're going to talk about the economy, and we're going to get into Western Pennsylvania and the impact of illegal immigration on Western Pennsylvania as well. So we got a big hour straight ahead for you. But I got to tell you, you know, if you're just joining me, one of the most amazing things happened in politics today, and that's Joe Biden upstaged Kamala Harris and then tied Kamala Harris to all of his terrible policies. I've talked about it a lot throughout the show. I'm not going to repeat myself now, but just know that that occurred, and it was a very, very big thing that it occurred, because he hates her and he wants her to lose, and he shivved her big time 2 minutes after the her event in Detroit started. And then he went out to the White House podium and started taking questions. By the way, the federal government right now is pushing back so hard on the criticism that they're getting over the response to Helene. And what the amazing part about this, of course, is that the corporate media is all in on helping the government get their message out. It's the unholy triad. It's the corporate media, the government, and social media. And so they're all doing their thing. So what you literally have now is you have the corporate media going out there and saying, everything's going great. Everything's fine. Any criticism you hear of FEMA, any criticism you hear of the response, it's all fake news. Everything's going smoothly. I'm not joking. And because we live in the day and age of propaganda, this government has come out. They've had press conferences, not dealing with the logistics, but defending themselves and how they're handling this. And then Biden comes to the White House podium today in the middle of what is now the most catastrophic, deadliest hurricane since Katrina. And it's like, it's all good. It's fine. It's all fine. Everything's going great. Everything's good. It's fine. No big deal. Trump goes out there and slams the administration, says this hurricane response effort is terrible. And what happens? The corporate media piles on him and goes, no, it's not. It's great. What are you talking about? Everything's going fine. What do you mean? It's just the intersection between the media in this country and the government is just it's nauseating. It's sickening. And, you know, we talk about disinformation and we talk about the control of information being the biggest thing. And I tell you that all the time. It is the battle. It is the fight. Well, that's what we're talking about. And we have this intersection between these three, government, social media, and corporate media, where they all help each other out. Trump is going to address the hurricane response in North Carolina. Tomorrow, of course, he's going to Butler, Pennsylvania, back to the rally, back where he was almost killed, came within, you know, centimeters of dying. And he's going to do that tomorrow. A triumphant return to Pennsylvania, Butler, PA. So that's going to happen tomorrow as well. And you know what's interesting is that you talk about perspective in life, right? I've had this clip for a couple days. He was speaking with Dave Ramsey about trying to do something you love in life, and then you don't have to call it work. This kind of resonated with me a little bit because I get to do what I love thanks to you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for helping to grow and promote the show. It's because of you that I get to do what I love in life. But I thought this clip made a lot of sense. And it is great advice also to, I think, you know, give your kids too. You know, find something you love and try to do that. And this is what Trump said. Cut 24.
But most importantly, do something you like, whether it's your parents or not. You know, your parents want you to go into a business or they want you to go into a store with them if they have a store. I would say that you have to love what you do. If you don't love what you do, it's not going to work. I've never seen it. If you don't want to get up in the morning and go to work, now a lot of people say, with all the people that come after you, do you really love getting up in the morning? You understand that, right? I'm attacked at left and right, but I do because we make so much progress. We're doing great on the campaign, as you probably see. We're leading in the campaign now and doing well. We beat Biden, and we were up so far on him, and then they said, that's like a fight. You're in a fight, and they changed the fighter in the middle of the, right? In the middle of the fight, they changed the fighter. And now we're beating her very badly. I'd be so interesting to see her in your show. Because I don't believe that she would be able to answer any questions on what you discuss better than anybody else.
Well, I'm happy to have her if she'd come.
I'm sure she would be. I'm sure she'd love to come. Yeah. She wouldn't come.
No, unless you want to talk Doritos, Dave Ramsey. If you want to talk Doritos, then maybe she'll come. I'm just saying. And maybe, you know, maybe she'll come. It's possible, but maybe not. Probably not, because she thinks that you would. Because Dave Ramsey would actually ask her questions about money and the economy, and she does not want to answer those questions. That's for damn sure. This clip, I don't know exactly when this clip came out, but my friends just sent it to me. It's the FEMA training director saying that they are concerned about faith-based shelters misgendering migrant trans women. Now, the reaction on social media is this your priority during this? I don't know if this is new or if this is old or not. I don't know. But just because we live in such, this is how freaking insane our government is. Just take a listen to this clip. Again, I don't know exactly if this is happening during the hurricane response or not. But regardless, it's just this is FEMA and this is the nonsense. And take a listen.
Being a migrant trans woman, there is an undocumented concern. There is also a concern of whether they would trust the people, places that are offering shelter that are faith-based because of the way they've been responded to in the past. Then if they are accepted, what would happen in terms of misgendering, in terms of bedrooms and bathrooms, et cetera. And then in addition, public safety once they're inside from those who are actually sheltering with them. All those concerns are there.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to misgender migrant trans women. That's got to be a big priority for me. But what I'm curious about from FEMA is FEMA came out and said that no, and we have the clip from Kamala Harris who earlier came out and said that no money's been diverted to migrants. Why would FEMA then be discussing ensuring that migrant trans women were not being misgendered? Why would they be in the business of that if they weren't diverting money towards dealing with illegal immigration? I don't know. Then again, I shared you the website from FEMA's own website proving that they did, in fact, spend $1 billion. And again, that's FEMA.gov/grants/shelter-services-program, in case you're interested. But who cares about that? Because Bigfoot was finally... DeSantis, you believe this? In Oklahoma, they captured Bigfoot. Not captured him, but they got him on camera. You see the pictures of this guy?
Yeah, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it looks incredibly fake.
You think it's fake?
I mean, it kind of looked real, I guess, from the initial angle of the video. But once the Bigfoot creature turns its head, I mean, clearly a man in a costume, no?
Yeah, and it turns out it was a satire video. So it's Emmanuel Alfaro recorded and posted a 10-second video on his TikTok page showing Bigfoot relaxing on the side of a tree in parallel forest. He turns the camera, starts running away, and says, "Scariest moment of my life, and I really think I caught a blanking Bigfoot on camera, but..." Got 2 million views. This is we live in the dumbest time ever. Got 2 million views, 202,000 likes. I just put a video, a tweet of me and Cash Patel talking about World War III. That won't even get even like, you know, a fraction of that. 24,000 shares and more than 3,500 comments as of Thursday afternoon. But it's just a Halloween costume. So
it's not even a good fake, which is the most annoying part. I don't understand why this went viral. It was a half-hearted attempt. It does not look even remotely real.
I know. It's a sign of the times that this went viral. It annoys me. It annoys me that this went viral and like really viral, too. Meanwhile, we're trying so hard to make things go viral on this show. And I should put a Bigfoot costume on. Of course, people would instantly go, but you're not tall, not even close to being tall. So there's that problem right there.
We just got to keep playing the clip that we've been playing every hour on the hour. I'm sure people love that.
It's been a few minutes. I'd like to hear it again. Should I set it up again one more time?
One more time for the fans.
All right. Just in case you're just joining us now in the 6 o'clock hour, where you been, first of all? And... And by the way, some breaking news from the White House. Jackie Heinrich reporting that Biden is not going to extend parole for over 500,000 migrants. Biden will not extend parole for over 500,000 migrants. That just came out a few moments ago on the controversial travel program. So we'll see. We'll get more details on that. So this is a gentleman, a black voter, who is very upset that people assume that because he's black, he has to vote for Kamala Harris. So in 75 seconds, he expresses the real disdain and anger he has that people assume that as a black man, he has to vote for Kamala Harris. Now, it took Matt DeSantis 8 minutes to edit this video in order to ensure that we don't lose our FCC license and I don't get fired, we don't get sued, and completely shut down the radio station. 8 minutes of editing. And that was the most work Matt DeSantis has done in a very, very long time, just so you understand.
Thank God it's Friday. I need that weekend to recover.
More than 35 bleeps and expletives from this man who's angry as hell that people assume that just because he's black, he has to vote for Kamala Harris. Take a listen.
But I had a conversation with my homeboy last night, and it went just like this. This gonna tell me, "Oh, I know who you voting for." I said, "Who is that?" He gonna say, "I know you voting for Kamala Harris." No, the I'm not. No, I'm not voting for them. I'm gonna be over here swooping on your ass. I'm not voting for no Democrat. Why I wanna vote for somebody just cause they black, they color, this politics and what they represent to me and all that other you talking. That don't mean thing to me. You crazy enough on yourself to think I'm gonna vote for that. You got me. It's gonna be Trump thump around this. You heard me? That's how I'm coming. I ain't voting for that. She black. I wouldn't give a it was alien green. I'm not voting for her. She ain't did black people since black people were black people. What the f*** look like voting for them? Man, you crazy as hell. Well, y'all need to learn something out here telling you gonna vote because of color. Two colors, a red one and a blue one, and I'm going with red. I'm gonna be a blood today.
It's just, and by the way, he's Joe Biden's new spokesman, because Joe Biden basically shivved Kamala Harris today from the White House podium by coming out there and saying that Kamala Harris represents all of Joe Biden's policies. So I think this man also speaks for Joe Biden. This is great. So he interrupts her rally in Detroit, and then he comes out there and he basically says, she's me, I'm her, we're the same, we're one and the same, we're the same person. And Matt, do you have that clip? We got to play that, because it works perfectly with the clip you just heard.
What would be really funny with this whole Biden thing is you got to have an AI Biden saying, it's going to be Trump, da-dump, dump, dump around here.
We can make that happen, right? Is you Trump, da-dump, dump, dump.
I need to hear AI Biden say that so badly.
I need to add that to the show open, actually. So it's like, you know, this is the next generation of talk. It's going to be Trump, da-dump, dump, dump.
It's
going to
be Trump, da-dump, dump, dump.
Around here. That's what I'm talking about. And here's Biden shivving Kamala Harris today. Take a listen.
There have obviously been a number of crises that the country has been facing over the past several days, with the hurricane, with the port strike, with the situation in the Middle East. Can you talk about how your vice president, who is running for the presidency, has worked on these crises and what role she has played over the past several days?
Well, I'm in constant contact with her. She's aware we're singing from the same song sheet. She helped pass all the laws that are being employed now. She was a major player in everything we've done, including passage of legislation which we were told we could never pass. And so she's been, and her staff is interlocked with mine in terms of all the things we're doing.
And then he returned to the podium to add this. Go ahead. The Trump, that's where you play that part.
Oh, sorry.
And he returned to the podium as he was walking out, turned back to the podium, looked at the press and said,
it's going to be Trump, da-dump, dump, dump.
And then proceeded to walk out of the press briefing room. There you go. Mr. President, everything sucks in America. How much is Kamala Harris to blame for this? He's like, go ahead.
It's going
to
be Trump, da-dump, dump, dump.
There you go. Answer the question. Boom. I love it. Oh, I love it so much. It's great. He hates her. He hates her. I don't know who hates Kamala Harris more, Biden or that guy in the video. I'm not sure, but it's a tie. Maybe a tie. It's very possible it might be a tie. Now, yes, we're going to tweet out both versions, both the censored version and the original version, so you can decide which is funnier. Maybe we'll do a poll. Is it funnier with the bleeps or without the bleeps?
Oh, we should have had it on a YouTube stream. Oh, man.
Well, we could do it for Monday. Okay. I'm probably still going to be laughing at it on Monday. Yes. We can certainly post it on Twitter in the meantime, but you can let me know if you think it's funnier with the bleeps or without the bleeps, and weigh in on X. All right. All right. Now, coming up, let's get the real deal on the jobs numbers from our buddy EJ Antoni. Plus, what is the deal with the dock worker strike and what's going to happen next? I mean, it's over, but is it really, really over? And then let's talk about Western Pennsylvania. Don't forget, 1 week from today, Grand Hotel, coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, joining me now to talk about the economy, the state of the economy and all things. Actually, I was trying to get him yesterday while we still had the port strike because he wrote a great piece about it. But it's still relevant today with the new jobs numbers out. He, of course, is the Heritage Foundation's very own and our official in-show economist. I'm talking about the one and only Dr. E.J. Antoni. Follow him on X at Real E.J. Antoni and rat out anybody who pretends to be him. What's up, my man? How are you? Happy Friday.
Rich, happy Friday. I tell you what, these intros just get better and better. I am loving it. You are too kind, my man.
Well, you know what? We really do need walk-up music for you. I mean, Coates has walk-up music. Have you decided on what your walk-up song you want?
Ooh, I you know what? I'd have to probably go with Dreadnought by Sabaton. You probably don't know what that is, but it's good. Trust me, it's good.
Is it heavy metal?
It is.
We like that on this show. Justin, our new associate producer, is a big fan. DeSantis doesn't know music, but he doesn't know most things. But Justin is a big fan of heavy metal, so I'm sure we can track that down. So then next week when you join us, we'll have that ready to go.
There we go.
See? Easy. So yesterday I was going to get you on to talk about the strike, because I thought your piece was excellent that you wrote, which is really who's to blame for this. And it's the fact that inflation. And I got to tell you, you know, it was interesting to hear Trump in Michigan yesterday empathize with the dock workers, which is it just kind of this upside down universe we're living in here, where you've got a Republican running for president who's not yelling at the union workers who are striking to get back to work or threatening to fire them or not that he could, but I mean, put them back to work. He's empathizing with the working people because all these union guys across the country, union guys and gals, are supporting him. But there were a lot of conservatives who were vilifying the longshoremen, saying that they were all making a lot of money. And some of that was because Harold Daggett is super rich and so is his son. And maybe they were not the best spokespeople for this. But you point out in your piece that, you know, for the average dock worker, they've been hit with this inflation like everybody else has.
Exactly. And, you know, like most Americans who assume that they're going to get a certain raise every year, you expect your standard of living is going to continuously increase because of that. Well, what's happened for the last 4 years is that even though people on average have gotten those raises, it actually buys you less. So, yes, your income is going up. Your take home pay is going up, except it's buying you less than it did before. So people are literally moving backwards. And, you know, Unlike the average worker who's not in a union, who actually has a better opportunity to negotiate their salary on a year-to-year basis, unions oftentimes will lock their members in to several years' worth of raises. And so it's almost impossible to renegotiate those things until your contract expires. Well, now that those contracts are expiring, people want huge raises. You know, if we think back to just a year ago, it was October 2023, you had the biggest auto worker strike in American history for exactly this reason. And until we get inflation and this cost of living crisis under control, you're going to continue to have this kind of labor unrest and you're going to continue to have strikes.
Because they're going to turn around and say, listen, if we're going to be locked into a long-term contract, you got to give us a X percent raise because things keep getting more and more expensive. So I think I understand that point on that. Man, people may not realize that. They may think this is an annual thing and that these are not long-term contracts. With the idea that now they've kicked the ball to January, but still this issue looming, which I think is even more than the money, it's the automation aspect of this. And, you know, they don't want automation. Yesterday, Steve Scalise was saying, well, look, that's unrealistic. It's 2024. Of course, we need to have automation. How do you kind of figure all that out, you think, from the point of view of economics and the interests of the people that own the ports, the shipping companies, and then the guys that and gals that unload all this stuff?
Well, Rich, I think you hit on something really, really important there when you said that, you know, this is the most important part of the negotiations. And here's what's really weird is the fact that the union leadership made it crystal clear from the outset that this was the linchpin. Yes, the raises are important, but this is the really big point. And the fact that they haven't even agreed on anything, the fact that all they've agreed to so far are a series of wage increases, but not the linchpin here, I think that tells you that there's more going on than meets the eye. In other words, there's probably some political considerations here behind the scenes that pushed union leadership to say, all right, we're going to pause the strike until after the election, effectively sometime in mid-January. But I think you're absolutely right. You know, the automation here is key, and you can't expect American ports and these shipping companies to operate like they did 50 years ago, which is what the union leadership is asking. You know, okay, so how do we move forward? How do we get American ports from being one of the most inefficient in the world to one of the most efficient in the world? Automation has to be a key part of that. And, you know, maybe what that looks like is essentially buying out these longshore. In other words, sunsetting all their jobs and saying, look, you're going to work until this date and then you're going to have a massive pension. In other words, some of you are going to get to retire at like 35, 40 or 45 years old. And in exchange for staying on the job when you know your job is doomed, we're going to give you this very generous pension program. And where are we going to get the money to pay for that? Literally all of the savings for the foreseeable future, because we have this automated now. We are essentially just buying a machine once and not having to pay operators to do the job.
When you think about this shift that's occurred, which I, you know, in my lifetime, EJ and Tony, I've never seen anything like this before, where the working class, the coalition, I mean, the coalition of Democrat voters has split. I mean, it's all over the place. You've got, you know, Trump's getting huge numbers with black support. Latino voters are with him. There was an analysis done the other day on Philadelphia. I mean, our hometown, your hometown, you know, you're right outside of Philly. I mean, where are you from? And showing how within Philadelphia, with the exception of basically Rittenhouse Square, all the working class neighborhoods, Latino neighborhoods, and a lot of the black neighborhoods have shifted towards Republicans. This seismic shift where you've got union guys who said, we liked Biden, but we don't like Kamala Harris, and we're with Trump now, and that these working guys are with the Republican running for president. I think, from my perspective, my analysis here is that a lot of this has to do with the war on energy. I think these guys have seen the Democrats embrace the Green New Deal, and whether it's their brothers and sisters in the auto workers union, as you talked about, or the guys that work in fossil fuels or whatever, they've seen the war on energy and they realize this Democrat Party has left them behind. Yes, the outsourcing of jobs, I think both parties are responsible for that. Trump talks about bringing back American manufacturing, though, in a way, and I think he has a real strong idea to do it. And we'll get to that in a second. But, I mean, do you agree that the war on energy has led a lot of this to working class people and union guys and gals to shift to the Republican Party?
Oh, Rich, I think that analysis is spot on. What the Democrat Party has essentially done over the last couple of decades is completely shift to a party platform that does not serve their own constituency. And so as a result of that, the constituency is abandoning the party. You know, this is shockingly like what happened during Grover Cleveland's time, actually. You know, and it's an interesting case because the late President Cleveland is, thus far at least, the only man to be elected to non-consecutive terms, precisely what Trump is trying to do today. And you look at some of the issues that were hot back then, it was things like devaluation of the currency, exactly what we're having today. It was things like tariff reform, exactly what we, what we're talking about today. So the parallels are really uncanny. But what Cleveland essentially did was preside over a drastic realignment of politics, where the Democrat Party essentially back then, as it's doing today, took on issues that were not in the best interest, of its own constituency, and as a result of that, their hold on politics basically collapsed. And I think that's what we're seeing today. But at the same time, it's causing a realignment on the Republican side as well, again, just like it did in the 19th century. And so Trump is now cobbling together a new kind of coalition, almost like what Reagan did, although what Reagan did was more so hold on to the existing coalition and add to it. Trump is really presiding over, I think, a radical realignment of who identifies with what party.
EJ and Tony's with me, Dr. EJ and Tony. Follow him on X at Real EJ and Tony. Biden today taking a victory lap over the jobs report. He's patting himself on the back and going, this far exceeded our expectations. Everything's great. The economy's strong. Everything's rosy. But I know that that's actually, once again, White House spin. Am I wrong on that point?
I mean, it's amazing what taxpayer dollars can buy. Let me put it that way. And, let's look at that jobs report. It's made up of two different surveys, a survey of businesses. We call that the establishment survey and a survey of households. Well, the establishment survey, that's where we get that headline jobs number. But when we look at the household survey, what that showed is the number of government workers soaring by 785,000 in a single month. In other words, all or nearly all of the jobs that we thought we added that month, last month, in the month of September, were essentially just more people on the government payrolls, which means working on the taxpayer dime. So this is very much, Rich, like the GDP reports, and other government data that we're getting that show essentially runaway government deficit spending is buying, quote unquote, growth, is buying, quote unquote, jobs. I mean, this is not actually sustainable. This is not real growth. Now, does it produce a really positive headline that the media can use to say, look, Bidenomics is working? Of course, it certainly does. But I think a key reason why we continue to get such positive economic data while people say they feel so terrible about the economy is garbage numbers like this. It's not telling you what's really going on.
And there's also games being played by the Fed as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. So 100%. You know, the fact that we continue to have a Federal Reserve meddling with interest rates, we continue to have a Federal Reserve that is essentially helping to manipulate Treasury markets. They really are working hand in glove with the Treasury at this point to try to produce unrealistic yields on Treasury bonds and other debt instruments issued by the Treasury. I mean, it's amazing the amount of smoke and mirrors that are going on right now. And it's particularly scary, Rich, that so much of this is just, it's not only kicking the can down the road, but to use another metaphor, you know, this is in a lot of ways a ticking time bomb. And instead of diffusing it now, which may cause some pain in financial markets, it's going to be that much worse when these bombs start going off in 2025. And at that point, it's not even going to matter who the president is, whether it's Trump, whether it's Harris, whether it's somebody else. You can put RFK in there, or Junior, I don't care. Whoever it is, we have a lot of financial ticking time bombs, again, that are going to start going off next year.
I think Trump's plan to say, if you build in America and we'll give you a 15% corporate tax rate, EJ, I think it's a brilliant idea because it's expensive to do business in this country, obviously, which is why people outsource so much manufacturing, where you've got countries where they have slave labor and, you know, they pay their workers nothing. And so it's going to be more expensive for these companies. A 15% corporate tax rate, is that kind of a carrot enough, you think, to lure them back here to set up and start? And is it realistic? Can we do that? Can we get that manufacturing boom back?
Oh, it's certainly realistic. Absolutely. And a key reason for that is because the American manufacturing worker has so much more capital at his fingertips than his overseas counterpart, that even with the adjustment for wage differentials, it should still be more profitable to make things here. The reason it's not is because of tax and regulatory policy being so out of whack. You know, one of the reasons why we actually need tariffs on foreign manufactured goods is because we don't tax things equally when they come across the border versus when they're made here. And so it's what some people call a border adjustment tax, where you're essentially just trying to put everyone on a level playing field. I don't understand these economists who say, I'm for, you know, free trade, and that's why we shouldn't tax imports. Okay, but you're taxing production here at home. Why would you want to incentivize production to go overseas? It just doesn't make any sense at all. But that's what we've done. And so you definitely need adjustments on the tax side. But, you know, I think this needs to be part of a more comprehensive solution where you're also looking at regulatory reform. The typical, let's say the typical American worker in manufacturing makes about $50,000 a year. Well, once you include all of the benefits and then additional taxes like payroll taxes, that unemployment insurance taxes, et cetera, that the manufacturer, the employer is paying, you're looking at a total compensation package that costs that employer about $100,000. But then you're also looking at another $50,000 or $60,000 per year in regulatory burden per worker. And so what the American manufacturing worker is actually receiving per year is only about a third of the total cost to employ that person. You have to get that regulatory burden down if you expect manufacturers to reshore that production here at home.
All right, buddy. That's great stuff. A lot to digest and more to talk about, no doubt about it. But thanks for setting the record straight for us. Like I said, follow him on X at Real EJ Antoni and report any Fugazi EJ Antonis, because there's a lot of them out there because everybody wants to be you. And so we got to get rid of them. All right. Thanks, buddy. And go Phils, right? I mean, go Phils.
You got it. I am so looking forward to October baseball. This is going to be good.
This is good. And we all hate the Mets with a passion. So it's perfect. It really is. It's perfect for us.
Absolutely.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend.
You too, Rich.
And as we continue along the show here, I just want to mention that we will be live 1 week from today at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Don't forget, Friday, October 11th, 1 week from today. All right. So join us for that. And we'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, let's talk about Western Pennsylvania, shall we, as we continue along with our Friday show, because Pennsylvania is everything, and whoever wins Pennsylvania is going to be the next president of the United States of America. Don't doubt me on this. We're here to talk about it, and especially in particular Western Pennsylvania and the border crisis. Matthew Tragesser, Senior Communications Manager for Media and Public Relations at the Heritage Foundation. He's got a great new piece over at foxnews.com. Western PA is paying the high price of the Biden Harris border crisis. Matthew, thanks for joining me here in Philadelphia. How are you?
Thanks, Rich. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so your family's from that area, huh?
That's correct. So I was actually born and raised there as well. Spent 20 plus years in Western Pennsylvania and the South Hills of Pittsburgh. And you know, that's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to write this piece in Fox News, is to sound the alarm of the disastrous Biden administration immigration policies. I mean, my neighborhoods, the towns surrounding my original neighborhood, they're unrecognizable with the sheer number of migrants arriving pretty much every day.
Now, you said your family, they immigrated to this country. Is that correct?
My mother did, from Guatemala, but my dad is born and raised from Western Pennsylvania.
Gotcha. Okay, so your mom, I'm assuming, did it the legal way, the right way?
Yes, she came here legally, which is, you know, pretty amazing, and why I'm so passionate about this issue, because we just have too many people in this country who are lawbreakers. You know, 12, 15 million plus illegal aliens have come under the Biden administration's watch, and it's unfair for people who adhere to the legal immigration system like my mom. And you know, it's just not fair. And so that's why I wanted to sound the alarm on this situation.
Well, I'm glad you did. And it's interesting, too, because the other guy sounding the alarm on this is Senator John Fetterman. I mean, Fetterman's out there saying, you know, we can't have the population the size of Pittsburgh crossing the southern border every single day. I mean, he's not wrong on that point. It's just that he's one of a handful of Democrats who are actually saying this stuff. You point out in the last 2 years, the migrant population in Pittsburgh has soared by 2,000%, and now it's reaching crisis levels. According to a September 15th segment aired by CBS Pittsburgh, and this is Charleroi, which is a borough nestled along the, I'm not going to say this correctly, how do you say that river?
Monongahela River.
Monongahela, okay, has been especially impacted, yes, by this influx. Now, Trump mentioned this town at a recent rally in Western PA, didn't he?
He did, yes. And he'll be there tomorrow as well. So, you know, it's basically highlighting what is going on in that area. I mean, it's the immigration problem has reached crisis levels, as I mentioned in this piece here, and perhaps is one of the main reasons why he's traveling there tomorrow.
So overburdened public systems resulting from mass immigration, one of the main concerns identified by Charleroi residents, and cost Pennsylvanians $1.2 billion annually to cover medical, welfare, and education expenses. The schools are suffering. The district has already spent $400,000 on English language learner teachers and interpreters, but it's nowhere enough to meet that demand. You know, as I hear all this, I get really frustrated thinking that the administration just turned around and said to all the people devastated by Hurricane Helene, hey, we're going to give you $750. You know, they've watched as American dollars have gone overseas to Ukraine, and they've watched how FEMA, which now apparently is broke, has spent almost $1 billion on the illegal immigration crisis in this country. And that's on top of everything else that their taxpayers are taxpayer dollars are dealing with on both the federal and state level doing this. And I mean, it's just it's insane. But you do a great job in this piece, Matthew, of breaking down the costs. And I don't think people even realize this. Like, you talk about the Cornell School District. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this is another small school district in Pennsylvania, but it's largely being impacted by this influx of migrants under the Biden-Harris administration, so much so that they actually have to increase their essentially their translator services, their teachers who provide translator services in these schools. And so, you know, those are just two kind of districts I highlighted in this piece, but it's really happening in a lot of the boroughs in the Pittsburgh area around Pennsylvania. And really all around our country. I mean, every town, every city has become a border state and a border city, essentially. And it's unsustainable. Another 4 years of Kamala Harris, I mean, who knows where this country will be?
Well, you know, when we talk about this, right? I mean, there's some people that say, oh, come on, listen, you know, the immigration thing, it's not that big of an issue. Just focus on the economy. But you do that in this piece. You focus on the economic impacts of illegal immigration, which I think is great. And what is unique about your piece, Matthew, is that we mostly focus on the crime aspect of this. We don't think about the burden on the local, the public services. We don't think about the burden on law enforcement, on public service in general. And that's a big part of this equation that we just don't hear enough about.
Totally. And if I had more room in this piece, I would have highlighted other economic costs. I mean, think about the other public systems that are strained by this influx. You got, especially if you think about this, emergency room care and medical care. I mean, when you have so many migrants coming into one region at a time, there's just not enough space to handle such influx. And so there's definitely a medical cost component to this, of course, a welfare cost component to this. And I cite in the piece that it's actually costing taxpayers in Pennsylvania $1.2 billion annually, billion with a B. And so I think that needs to be said out loud as much as possible, because it's just unsustainable and unfair to taxpayers.
It's crazy. I mean, it's just nuts. It's the kind of thing that Trump should be highlighting at every rally. No question about it. Matthew Tragesser is with me, Senior Communications Manager for Media and Public Relations at the Heritage Foundation. His new piece, Western Pennsylvania, Paying the High Price of the Biden-Harris Border Crisis. Pittsburgh is on the verge of being taken over by mass immigration to the point where residents will flee. When you hear Fetterman talk about this, I mean, do you think I kind of view him as a window or a mirror, I should say, of the people that he represents in that part of the state of Pennsylvania. I think at one point Fetterman was an open borders guy. I mean, he always sounded like it. He was very pro-immigration. And then he got elected to the U.S. Senate. And he started hearing from the very people that elected him in places like Braddock and other places that said, enough with this stuff. And I think that is very telling in terms of the blue-collar people in this country who are fired up over this issue. And something else, too, with these blue-collar people is that not only have they watched their jobs disappear, but they know that illegal immigration is a threat to their jobs because of the fact that if you put people off the books, if you don't pay them a decent wage, and, you know, people may hire them and undercut people's jobs. The left would lie and say, well, nobody wants to do those jobs anyway, but we know that that's not true, right?
Absolutely. And it's when you have this influx of illegal immigration, of course, they're going to cut American wages. I mean, if you can hire someone under the table, as you said, for $10 an hour versus paying someone $20 an hour, it's a simple business move. But unfortunately, that can't be happening. We need to be employing Americans first. People here are going to technical school, trade school, college, and they can't find a job because largely due to illegal immigrants taking their jobs for a lower pay. And so that's a huge problem. It's unfair to Pennsylvanians. It's really unfair to all Americans. And, that's why immigration remains, you look at a lot of polls, the top issue to most Americans, to most Pennsylvanians. And I saw one poll just recently where nearly two thirds of all Americans support mass deportations.
Yeah.
I think if you ask that question, maybe a decade ago, it'd be much smaller. But I think people are fed up, as you said. And I think we're going to see hopefully some good results after November.
Matthew Tragesser, thanks for joining me here in Philadelphia. Follow him on X at Matthew Trag. Have a great weekend, my friend, and go Phils. Sorry, but I got to say it.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Rich. Have a good one.
Take care. And as we continue along here, well, it's almost over, I guess, almost to the end of the night. But hey, look, a week from today, we'll be wrapping up the show in Cape May and getting ready for my first cocktail, as I'm sure I will wait until this time next Friday for my first drink. And I'm saying that to all the Zioli Army members that come over and try to liquor me up during the show. Don't do it. All right? Don't do it. Hey, tomorrow night, catch me on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Failla, 10 p.m. on Fox News. Then on Monday, I'm going to be in studio with Jimmy for his radio show. And then he's going to co-host the first hour of the show with me on Monday because his show is launching on PhD starting Monday. So got a big weekend in store. But yeah, we'll be on TV tomorrow night. I've been fasting and throwing up all week, and hopefully it thins out my face a little bit. And I'm just kidding, sort of. But hopefully, the magic will work. There's a lot of makeup involved. Makeup, hair, these people are heroes. Not all heroes wear capes, but if you can make me look semi television ready with this face, then you've done God's work. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Appreciate it very, very much. Have a great weekend. Go Phils, right? I mean, we're fired up for tomorrow's game. Go Phillies, and follow me. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zioli, on Instagram at Zioli Show. Thank you.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.